If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, we'll begin reading with verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, as we read this, one thing I want to point out, it says that you can be the children of God. No doubt, I believe he's saying here, we would understand that. He's not saying this is how you earn your salvation, but rather that you can be known as the children of God. It's important not just to be a child of God, but to be known as a child of God. That we are to let our light so shine before others that they can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And so it's not just about me. Life is not just about me. It's about so much more than that. And ultimately the glory of God, which I've been beating on that drum for quite some time now. And yet it's a good drum to beat on. You know, we need to worship the Lord with that drum, don't we? But when you think about this, the Lord is addressing the law, and he's saying, the law does save, but I'm telling you to go beyond. The law does save, but I'm telling you to go beyond. He's showing him the letter of the law has always taught you this, but I want you to see more. I want you to see the spirit of the law as well. Whenever Jesus came and fulfilled the law, he not only fulfilled the letter of the law, but he also fulfilled the spirit of the law as well. And so the law, we think about the law is about justice. It's about, we know it to be the schoolmaster that teaches us of our need of grace. It always has been. You know, God gave the law to man. Yes, it was to establish some morality, and it was to show some things that's even symbolic things that the Jews were to do. And yet, certainly, you know, the world was a better place because of the law. There's no doubt about that. And yet, man never was or ever will be able to live up to the law. So the law was given so that we could see that no matter how hard we try, we're going to come up short. At the end of the day, I'm just not going to be able to meet God's standard of righteousness on my own. And so Jesus is showing that the law does say this, but I'm telling you that it's even more than what you can imagine. You've got to do more than that. And finally he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. So he gives us a very high standard to shoot for as a Christian, as a child of God, as someone that's to be Christ-like. So, the law is the schoolmaster. It gives us a pattern of morality. It shows us consequences for taking, for messing up. There's consequences. For the wages of sin is death. That's God's law. That the wages of sin is death. And so whenever I sin, by law, I've been slain by the law. I've been put to death. And so here he mentions some specific things. He talks about if someone was to take your eye, by the law, you go and you can take his eye. You know, there's consequences for your actions. And even as, you know, our government was established, we established law. And, you know, if you break this law, there is this consequence. Now there's so much politics and special interest and all that, that a law really doesn't mean a lot in many different cases. You know, someone, you know, you think about illegal aliens and their rights. It stops, they're illegal whenever they got here. They're illegal. So they have no rights as American citizen would have rights. They don't have the same rights. And yet, that's neither here nor there, I guess. But laws are established to show that if you break this, there's a consequence for it. So Jesus shows us grace. Even though I deserve hell, I will pardon you through the blood. The Lord's showing us something that is very much of very much importance. And of course, He establishes His church upon these things. The law points out our flaws. The letter of the law makes us look within. I am insufficient. That's what the law's for. At the end of the day, it is to show me I am insufficient. I just cannot get there. I need help. I need God to do me a favor because I cannot do it for myself. Of course, that favor is the grace of God, Jesus Christ. We can be saved through Christ Jesus alone. So, through Christ, we're new creatures. That gives me some liberty. Liberty is taught in Scripture. The church has great liberty. I have liberty to serve the Lord. And I am at liberty to help my neighbor because of what Jesus did for me. There's people that say, you know, you don't have any right to try to impose upon me. You don't have any right to try to tell me about your Christ. I have all the liberty in the world to do that. We have all the liberty in the world to serve the Lord as we see fit because God gave us that great liberty. So I can care about you. I can love you the way Jesus loves me. If you're a child of God, we have that within us. I mentioned that. I know I'm kind of going slow with that, Brother Buddy, because I want to just emphasize, I can love you the way that Christ loves me. The reason I say it that way is because so often when we read this passage of Scripture, we say, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that if somebody comes along and takes my coat, that I could give him my cloak also. I just don't know that I can do that. As a child of God, you can. You may choose not to, and many of us choose that because we are yet carnal and we are selfish in our ways and our motives, but we're at liberty to love exactly the way Christ loves us. And the more we see the love of Christ, the more it becomes us to want to be like Him. And if I want to be like Him, then I see that, you know what, that's exactly how He loves. If somebody come along and took His cloak, he would have, or His coat, He would have gave His cloak also. So if He can do it, then now I want to be like my Savior. I can do it as well. So now Jesus said, I want you, child of God, to go the extra mile. That's what I want to deal with tonight. I want you to go the extra mile. This is important from every angle, no matter how you look at it. If you're talking about spiritually, if somebody walked up and said, I want you to come and walk a mile with me, I've got something on my heart, then I need to go and not only walk that mile, but continue to walk until they get everything that's on their heart, off of their heart. I need to be willing to go and walk alongside that person if that's what they ask me to do. But it's so much more than that. That's just looking at it from a physical point of view, but to a spiritual point of view, that we need to be able to endure and we need to be able to be long-suffering with a brother or sister in Christ. And if they want me to be a little bit long-suffering, I need to go beyond that. If they want me to be a little bit merciful for them and to them, I need to go beyond that. And listen to this now, not just to a brother or sister. I need to be long-suffering and merciful to my enemy. Again, I mentioned we are at liberty to love the way Christ loves, because that's not in my that's not my carnal nature to do that. Not my enemy. Now, I might can come here and love my church, and I do, and be willing to go the extra mile for my church, but we get out here and talk about somebody like an enemy. I don't know that I could even move an inch for them, much less go an extra mile for them. Where does that put us, though? Jesus says, if that's all you're going to do, even the publicans do that. So he's saying, if all I'm going to do is love the lovable, if all I'm going to do is go the extra mile for someone that I care deeply about, then that is not going to separate me from the rest of the world. That's not going to show Christ to anyone, because even a publican would do the same thing. A publican loves his. A publican loves his family. A publican loves those in his inner circle. But he's saying, child of God, you have to love the way Christ loves. That separates us. So this is important, again, from every angle, because anger seems to be at an all-time high, at least in my lifetime. People are so short-tempered. And I say people, I have found myself, Brother D, becoming more and more short-tempered. I've allowed myself to do that, to become more and more short-tempered. And I've had to ask God to help me with that, because I see that becoming a problem in my life, more and more short-tempered. And certainly in this day and time, with dealing with some of the things that we've dealt with, you see a lot of people getting just very short-tempered. So God's people often, we're asked to be more tolerant, more long-suffering. And yet, we've kind of come to a place, if you just go along with me for a minute, the theme of being lukewarm. We've allowed ourselves in so many different areas of life to become lukewarm. Tolerance, for instance. Well, you know, I'm going to be like everybody else, and nobody else is tolerant either. So at least I'm kind of average with everybody else. But that's not what God wants out of us. God does not just want us to be average. He wants us to separate from the rest of the world. We don't need to look like everybody else. We need to be that light that shows Christ to the world. So, just mention the topic of patience. How patient are you? You know, generally, whenever we mention patience, Brother Mike, so often we'll almost laugh at that subject. Patience. Oh, I know I need to learn patience. And that's about as far as we get with it. Well, I know I need to learn. If we know we need to learn patience, then learn patience. We can't just push it off and say, well, I know I need to, but nobody really ever gets to that step in their life where they've learned great patience. Certainly there's a few. There's a few that learn great patience. And I tell you what, whenever you see those people, they are separate from everybody else. They have separated themselves not only from the world, but they've separated themselves and put themselves in a category that when you see those people, you say, if there's anybody ever been a child of God, that's a child of God. So what is that? They are known as the children of God because they are being obedient to God's word. So the result is I will go an extra mile And if I will go an extra mile, I can be a blessing. Keep that in mind. It's not just about me going an extra mile, but if I'm willing to do that, then I can be a blessing to someone. So many times I'll go an extra mile for my inner circle. Or we might say I'll go an extra mile for my brothers and sisters in Christ. But will you go an extra mile for those outside of that circle? Because that's whenever, a lot of times we're not willing to move an inch for them. So Jesus, listen, let's look at him, because he's the greatest pattern we have. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. I love that one little statement there, because it is just power packed with Christ. That, to me, it shines a light on who Christ is. I must needs go through Samaria. I bet when he said that, everybody that heard that rolled their eyes. Why in the world we got to go to Samaria? They hated going to Samaria. They hated the people of Samaria. They didn't want any dealings with the people of Samaria. The woman at the well that Jesus went to see, she brought that to light. What are you doing even talking to me? The Jews have no dealings with us. I must needs go through Samaria. This wasn't Galilee he was going to. This wasn't Jerusalem. He wasn't stopping by the house to help mom. This wasn't to help some wayward Jew. This was to go to help a Samaritan woman with a bad reputation. That's where he was going. This is an extra mile through Samaria, literally and spiritually, to help a woman that any other Jew would have had no dealings with. Even the other disciples that were with him, they would have turned their nose up at that woman. Probably did. It does seem kind of like they're wondering, what in the world is he doing talking to her? But Jesus is different. And I want to encourage us, church, we are different. We are to be different. Let's let Jesus be the measure, and let's take a rule of how far we are from the mark. If this is how Jesus measures, and I take a rule of myself, and I'm way back here, then I've got to stretch this thing a little bit more. I've got to become more like Him. Be ye perfect, even as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's the goal. So how far am I from going an extra mile? How far are you from going an extra mile? You see, when you deal with this particular subject, emotions are hard to deal with because we associate feelings with right and wrong. Often we do that. We associate feelings, right and wrong. And yet, many times we couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus was crucified, and he opened not his mouth. I guarantee you that went against every emotion he had as a human being. Because emotion says, lash out, get revenge, call up that multitude of angels, set them straight. They want me to come down off his cross. I tell you what, I'll come off his cross. That's what emotions tells us is right. Your emotion probably a lot like mine. Sometimes you just feel it, boy, this just feels right to do. It feels right to fly off the handle. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, I can only imagine what, you know, he was human. And being human, he had emotions. But he did not let those emotions dictate how he was going to approach being crucified. And so as he's being crucified, he looks down, a naked, bloody pulp of a man, and he looks down. Underneath his feet are men that are, they have stolen his garments. He's naked, hanging on a cross, and they are laughing, cutting up, gambling over his clothes, casting lots over his clothes. Even though they did that, he didn't open his mouth. Boy, that's a hard one to learn. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just don't say anything. There's great wisdom in knowing when to just be silent. He didn't open his mouth. He died for the one that spit in his face. What would emotion tell you to do in that situation if somebody spit in your face? Jesus had that happen and he didn't open his mouth. Jesus went to Zacchaeus, who was a publican and despised. He was despised of everyone, and Jesus walked straight up to him and forgave him of his sins. Jesus came to a young boy in South Mississippi who deserved hell and forgave him. And I get to stand and preach before you here tonight because of the gift of salvation. That's who Jesus is. And that's who we are representing. When you say, "I am a Christian," that's who you're representing. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Let's stop right there just a minute. Paul and Silas sang praises unto God at midnight. Why did they do that? They didn't have to do that. The circumstances that they were going through really, if you've been beaten and bloody and cast into prison, if you decided, "You know what, I just don't feel like singing today," people would understand that, wouldn't they? They would. So why do it? Why sing praises to God at midnight after going through what you've gone through? Paul, Silas, why would you do that? You see, they could have made prison about themselves, and that sounds weird even saying it. But they could have made prison about themselves. In other words, they could have played the "woe is me" card, and everybody would have said, "Paul, I feel so sorry for you. Silas, I hate that you have to go through that." And maybe send a report, and the church would be, you know, that would be a special request. That let's pray for Brother Paul and Silas. They have been beaten and thrown into prison. And maybe everybody would be worried about them. But that's not the scene that we have here. We have a beautiful scene. Why did they do this? Why were they singing praises to God at midnight? Instead of saying, "Woe is me," or, "Oh my goodness, I'm hurting, these stripes, they hurt, I hate that I'm locked up, I can't do anything else for the Lord." Rather than do all that, they went the extra mile for the sinners that may be present around them. Somebody may see us. We're representing Christ right here where we are. So since we're doing that, let's go the extra mile. So verse 26. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prisoner doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." Why not just let him do it? I mean, this man has been mean. They went the extra mile. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I love that. "What have I got to do?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." It's still just that easy today. Be saved. Just by trusting Jesus, you can be saved. Not going to deal with that part here tonight, though. Paul and Silas could have hated this jailer that probably put some of those stripes on their back. I say that, and let me just deal with what's in Scripture. The Bible said, having received such a charge, he thrust them into the uttermost parts of the prison. He didn't lead them into the uttermost parts of the prison. He didn't gently direct them that way. He didn't humanely have them, you know, presented into their prison cell with a nice change of clothes and some towels and color TV and all that stuff. He thrust them into the uttermost parts of the prison. You know, somebody thrust you anywhere, my first reaction is I'm going to turn around and, you know, knock somebody's block off, because they thrust me and, you know, don't handle me like that. But that's not what they did. Tonight, what I want you to see is this. There is power in the extra mile. There's power in that. So many draw the line short of the extra mile. The extra mile is what moves hearts. Anybody go little ways? Anybody will love their family. Anybody love, you know, those that are close in their inner circle. Anybody do that. But the extra mile has power. Jesus went the extra mile for me. He could have called 10,000 angels, a legion of angels. He could have, but he didn't. He went the extra mile for me. He could have let me die and go to hell, but he didn't. He convicted my heart and showed me a need for a Savior, and now I'm saved because of him going the extra mile. Jesus went the extra mile. He's asked us to do the same thing. So let's let our light shine. And at times, I'll be honest, it's not easy. You know that. It's not always easy to just let our light shine. But it is always required at all times for a child of God. We're to let our light so shine. We're to go that extra mile. A lost sinner may need us to go just a little bit further. A struggling saint may need a little bit of extra encouragement. Am I willing to go the extra mile for them? Let me tell you something. There's a man, one of the greatest men in Scripture to me, and y'all know this very much, is David. David was a motivator. He even in writing a psalm, the way he wrote that just encourages even men today. It encourages men today. I could not imagine riding a horse beside this great leader. What an encouragement it must have been every day to get up and go to battle for this man. The great man David. There come a time where he was in a garrison. Philistines had surrounded him. And he got down. I mean, he got down and out. I believe he was depressed. I believe he was sick and tired of the battle. Woe is me. If someone would just give me of the waters there at Bethlehem. He had a couple of men that heard him say that. And they busted through that garrison to go get him water from that well. David needed someone to go the extra mile for him. The great encourager needed to be encouraged. He needed someone to go the extra mile. He needed someone to break through. And that's what took place. They broke through and they got that water and brought it back. And he was so humbled by it, he poured it out to the Lord. He realized, I don't even deserve this. But it was the act. It was the gesture. It was two men, I believe it's two men, that decided, we will go the extra mile. And he said, well, it was because it was David and they loved David. Certainly it wasn't an enemy. But that same heart should be, we should have that same heart for everyone. Someone needed a breakthrough on his account to encourage the encourager. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards it. He's coming with his reward to give every man according as his work shall be. And I believe this, it will be worth all the extra miles that we go when the Lord returns. It's going to be worth it. Can I encourage you? Brother Mike, I'm going to just, I guess I'm going to take your statement you said to me and I'm going to use it from now on, but keep on keeping on. That's what God has called us to do. Keep on keeping on. If you, what Jesus say? If you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. When it's all been said, when it's all done, how we treated others is going to matter. I know sometimes there's people, no doubt, that can aggravate us. There's those that we feel like, you know, they know better. But I imagine there's been times when somebody saw me and they said, I tell you what, he knows better. He knows better than that. I know I've caught myself, but then I've said, Brad O'Neill, you know better than that. You didn't have to act that way. You didn't have to do that. Christ did a lot for us. Where much is given, much is required. He said, be ye perfect, even as my Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's the goal. You pray for me, we'll ask for a son.